Welcome everyone to the fourth Water Song Line, or excuse me, the fifth Water Song Line teleseminar, Water as a Sacred Mirror. Tonight we're going to be listening to our Mother Waters in that particular and weaving in the way that we have over these last weeks. It's been really a joy. Thank you all, each and every one of you, for registering and for joining this circle with all of us. Thank you so much. And we really look forward to continuing to grow this community of like-minded people and continuing to grow these prayers. So I'd like to start out. Omi, I think, are you there, Omi?
Yes, I'm here.
If it sounds like there's background noise, if you would mute or...
Yeah, oh, okay. You want me to mute? Okay.
Yeah, until you're going to talk. Thank you. All right. Well, once again, I just want to say aho to everyone. Thank you so much for this beautiful circle that's growing. It's growing every single week. There's more and more people growing, adding to this beautiful ocean lake of people of prayer and people devoted to the Mother Waters. I'd like to offer a song as a way to begin. Ahi ane ho, 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 ahe 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 ane ho, ane ho, ane ho. I want to offer a prayer tonight for the Holy Mother Water as a sacred mirror. Thank you, Holy of Holies, Nameless One, Weaver of all of existence. Thank you for the holy waters of life. At this time, I'd like to, with the spirit of sacred reflection, I'd like to talk to the water inside my body that it might reflect my true being as my words come out of my mouth and the thoughts come to my mind, that it might reflect the deep love that's inside my heart, the deep light that I am, so that I might transmit that good feeling to all those ones who are on the call and all the ones who are going to listen, that I might be able to, in this process, be humble and honest and purify the things that are out of balance inside of myself with the good thoughts and intentions and with the help of the Holy Mother Water, the way that she reflects exactly what is, and helps us transmute it, helps us raise our level of our consciousness, and helps us purify ourselves so that we might meet the world with grace and with kindness and with tenderness and with humility. Thank you, Holy Mother Water, for each person on this call, for each of their lives, for their children, for their grandchildren, for their elders, for the deep wisdom that they each hold inside of themselves and the deep prayers that they walk and the different love in action that they give out in the world. And may our thoughts and our words and our actions be one coherent river of kindness and tenderness, so that we all might be able to join hands in this effort to purify ourselves and purify this holy, holy creation. Thank you, Holy One, for this time guide us. Help us listen deeply to you. Thank you. A hope. Omile, I'm wondering if you might want to start the topic, and then I'll jump in, and then we have tonight, for those of you who are on the call, we have Omile Yeyeoshun, we have Olu, her dear husband, we have Liz Madison, we have Bob Boyle, and we have myself, Ann Rosenkranz, and our dear communications coordinator, Maxine Bruch. And we have a number of people on the call here. Thank you all. So once again, the topic is water as a sacred mirror. And Omi, if you'd like to, we'd love to hear from you.
Greetings. Greetings, Anne, and everyone else. your song, and first of all, I'd like to thank Mother Water for giving me permission and the ancestors for giving me permission to be here and to speak. And I feel very moved by the song that you sang and feel like I want to cry. And something about what you, something you just said, you know, may Mother Waters move the world with grace, tenderness, and kindness. For me, summed everything up about these teachings and summed up everything about what Mother Water teaches us as a mirror that she holds up to our faces and our hearts. And so I'm praying that she gives me the right words right now, because I feel so small and humbled before her presence, because as you were singing, I could actually see her coming into the room so elegantly and so sweet and so powerful and yet so humble. And I feel your song and your prayer actually summed up in a very energetic way what it is Mother Water teaches us as a mirror. So there's many ways to approach the subject. You can approach it spiritually, intellectually, or you can just integrate both things and find the answers. And what does the mirror mean? Many of the Mother Waters in her many different forms all around in different cultures holds the mirror. So you'll see that Oshun holds the mirror. You'll see that Amaterasu was actually lured out of her cave with a mirror. And this mirror, whether it's Hathor's mirror or one of the Greek goddesses' mirror, is very, very important. And the mirror actually helps us to understand the level we're at. So many people, when they look at who are involved in spiritual practice and those who look at the symbols of the mother, some people take the mirror to mean that the mother goddess is vain because she's looking at herself in the mirror a lot of times. And their very interpretation becomes a reflection of her mirror and a reflection of the where the heart of humanity is at. Because if that's the level they can see the mirror at, then that's the level of where our spirituality is at, that we can only see on that level. We're not seeing beyond. So Mother Waters in that instance is reflecting us back to ourselves. She's reflecting our level of spirituality back to ourselves, or our spiritual stuntedness back to ourselves. The mirror is actually a very easy and complicated thing to actually kind of grasp in words. It's something you kind of experience in many ways. Mother Water's mirror, when she holds it up and she's looking at herself in all her glory, is she vain? Or is she showing us something a little bit deeper? And a lot of times what the mirror is showing us is the beauty and the glory of what happens when we are in touch with the spirit energy of the world, the sacred energy that permeates through us. What we see in the face of Mother Water is our own glory. In the story of Amaterasu, I hadn't remembered it, but when I was praying this morning, this story came to me. As all the mothers come in many, she comes in many forms all around the world, and what's happening, that Mother Water energy is joining her waters back together and the symbols back together to give us a holistic picture of who she is. And therefore, it doesn't matter which culture you look at, you should see it as all parts of a jigsaw puzzle. So Amaterasu's mirror. What happens is Amaterasu gets upset by some antics of her brother, who actually frightens her maidens, and they actually die from shock from some of the things he does. And she's so upset. Sorry, I should explain, Amaterasu is the Japanese goddess, very important, one of the first ancestors of the Japanese. And she becomes so upset that she withdraws into a cave. And she pushes a boulder across the cave and blocks herself away from humanity. And the whole of humanity falls into darkness. And as humanity falls into darkness and there's no light, everything begins to die and wither. And so the gods, everyone starts panicking, and the gods have a conference together, realizing they have to somehow get Amaterasu out of the cave. And so they conference together, and they come up with an idea to actually have a party where there's laughter and there's joy and there's jokes. And what they plan is to have a huge mirror in front of the cave door. So they start a party where there's music, laughter, joy, and jokes. And Amaterasu becomes curious, and she wants to know what's going on. So she peeks out of the cave, and then she sees this glorious image in front of her. And so she comes out further, and she's just mesmerized by this image. And as what it is, she's actually seeing herself in the mirror without realizing it. And they move the mirror further and further back until she's completely out of the cave. And then they put a rope to block the cave off, which is now known as the Shimanawa rope, which marks the sacred space of the gods and goddesses. So Amaterasu could not return back into the cave. As a result, the world actually recovered. So that story of Amaterasu in the mirror is actually, for me, has many layers, and I'm sure each of us listening to that story would have a layer and interpretation of that story for ourselves, and it's all definitely valid. For me, what the story was saying, and maybe as I mature, I might understand it in another way, and from another angle, but right now what the story meant for me today when I was meditating is that story was showing us that to be like the mother, as Anne said, graceful, tender, and kind are the qualities that is going to take us out of the darkness that we're falling into, are luminous qualities, the qualities humanity so desperately needs. We need laughter in the world again. We need joy in the world again. We need compassion in the world again. We need tenderness and beauty in the world again. These are the qualities that the mother holds. And that's why if we move over to Africa, to Oshun, many of Oshun's paintings or carvings, she's actually holding the mirror up to her own face. And she's known as the goddess of beauty and wisdom and balance. She's also known as the goddess who brings civilization back to the world. This is one of her major roles. She's known as she who civilized the world, and she's also known as the mother of the universe. So when she's holding the mirror up to herself, even many of her own practitioners of that tradition will say, Oshun's very vain. She loves to be beautiful. But if we link the two stories of Oshun and Amaterasu together, we will see that it's the glory of the mother embodied within ourselves that we need to begin to see. And seeing that is what will bring us out of that darkness, as I said. And there's much more stuff I can say about the mirror, but right now I think I just want to pause, and I think I will just hand it over to Anne right now.
Hi there. Thank you so much. Omine, thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry, Anne, I had it on mute.
Oh,
yeah, thank you, Ashe.
Yes, thank you. And I also see that Robin Youngblood joined us. Hi, Robin. Welcome.
Hi, Anne. Thank you.
Welcome,
glad
Robin.
To be here. Yeah. So thank you, Omi, for that beautiful reflection of the mother through the goddesses and the way that you understand her, the way that you weave the different faces of the goddess from all over the world. It's really inspiring. It's very beautiful. One of the things I was thinking about, Omi, a few things, when you were saying about the mirror and Oshun, Mama Oshun holding the mirror, one of the things that I've noticed in many of the depictions of Oshun, she's holding a mirror, but she has a veil. Sometimes it's beads across her eyes, and she has a mirror. So what is that saying? That she's actually not looking at herself, that she is the mirror, that she is the mirror, and she doesn't need to see herself in order to be reflected. And I was thinking about this quality of reflection this morning when my husband and I were at the lake, and the groundwater now, the drought, we still are in a drought, but it's been raining enough recently that the groundwater has risen, and so the sky is reflected in the water. And I was thinking about this quality of reflection, this medicine of reflection, how she reflects the sky, and also absorbs. She reflects and she absorbs and she dissolves. So she takes on the quality of what's around her, and then and then offers it back. So that quality of divine reflection and absorption is a quality of her being able to receive and transmit information, to fully receive the receptacle and transmit information. I remember there was a ceremony that my husband and I take care of, and in the early morning, I bring in the water, and I went to this creek nearby, and it was dark. And as I'm taking the bucket to get the water out of the creek and pouring, my hands lifted the water up, and as my hands were pouring the water out, I saw that the water was made of stars. So the actual fabric of water is light and liquid light. And I see that as one of the abilities of the water to absorb, to transmit and absorb light. And I've just been recently learning about the DNA as a transmitter and receiver of energy and of light. And that when we take, we were talking in our write-up about this evening's discussion. We were talking about the environment around us, how we reflect the impurities inside of us are reflected on the outside, and that it's our sacred duty to purify ourselves, not just in terms of drinking pure water, but purify our thoughts and purify our prayers and purify our feelings. And as we do that, we raise our frequency in such a way that we can transmit more love, and that it actually changes our chemistry, so that in that process of us purifying our thoughts, purifying our prayers, purifying our intentions, embracing our shadow, embracing the pollution of our own minds and consciousness, as we do that, we actually transmute the frequency into our chemistry, and then that activates and catalyzes more light and love that we can then transmit out through the fact that we are mostly water. So we transmit more love in that, in the way we can acknowledge that our thoughts and our prayers are also the environment that, of the water that the water is in. So I was thinking about that, and in that frequency transmuted into chemistry, we actually generate more vitality. And in that, we have the ability to give and receive more love and hopefully be more of a healing force on this planet. So I was thinking in that same idea about the nature of, as you were talking, Omile, about every part of it is reflecting every other part. And we know this, that the that this universe is a hologramic, a holographic universe. Every part reflects every other part. So the Mother Water is such an amazing teacher. She's the prime teacher of that reflection of our of every part of ourselves inside of her. So that she receives us exactly how we are, without judgment, without changing who we are. And in that respect, she's the ultimate receptacle and a non-judgmental receptacle. So another thing that I was reflecting on around the mirror and around the water is that ever since I was a little girl, I remember looking in the mirror and in the mirror locking my eyes onto the mirror. And as I stayed there still and locked my eyes on the mirror, my face would change and there'd be all these different faces. It felt like ancestral. It felt like other beings coming through the veil of the mirror to reveal themselves to me. The eyes were stable, but the faces transmuted around the eyes. And in the same way, when we look in the Mother Water, she reflects back to us the many different faces of who we are, in all the different aspects, not even just literal faces. And in that way, we recognize that we're not just singular here. We're not just, the illusion that we are separate or singular gets broken down and dissolved in the very fabric of the water. So those are some of my thoughts, some of my deep gratitude to the water and who she is, really as a divine mother of very the qualities of being able to come to her to ask for purification, to receive purification, not only for our physical bodies, but our mental, spiritual, emotional bodies, and even our ancestral bodies. So she has that kind of memory, too, to be able to help us remember and help us reflect through that reflection, through that memory, through that ancestral calling forth of our ancestral lines, that we can enter into the river of existence that way, contribute our small portion of ourselves in that river of life. All of this helping us know in the heart of our being that we belong, that we're not in any way separate. So those are some of my reflections evening. I don't know if you want to pick up some threads, Omile, or
that's a lot of powerful stuff wrapped into one water drop. I actually have a couple of feedback on that, but I'm wondering, does anyone else want to feedback first, and we kind of weave the net wider?
Okay, yeah. So Olu, Liz, Robin, Bob, any of you, would you like to, these are our Water Song Line Council members. Any of you would like to add something?
Pretty speechless so far.
That's a little, huh?
When you was that the comment?
Oh, yeah. Pretty deep. Y'all carried it well.
All right. And
you were talking, Anne, about the stars. I remembered bits of a song from Columbia that says that our tears are from the stars. They are the water of the stars. And the song goes on to say, cleanse, cleanse, cleanse your heart, that the waters of the stars may pour from you.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ah, she.
You also talked about holograms, and every cell in our body is holographic. And it's through the holograms that compose our body, we reflect as well, because we're born of water, yes, we reflect everything that is from the mother waters.
Yeah.
So if we're out of balance, if we don't purify ourselves, and if we're containing all these pollutants, then we're reflecting that back into the mother waters as well. When we cleanse
right.
ourselves and purify, in whatever form we do that, whether it's a sweat lodge or a prayer circle or singing or however we purify, then we reflect that purity back into the waters as well. And as we reflect it back into the waters, I believe it heals the waters.
Mm-hmm. I was also moved by your words about the stars and the water containing the stars. It is the inherent light from which we all arise, made visible through the form and quality of the water. And she reflects this to us. She reflects the light from which we inhere, the light from which we arise. And I really, really appreciated that reminder.
Perhaps somebody has a... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about the mirror. You know, you were talking about the mirror. And you know how when you look into a mirror, it kind of goes to infinity, right? Sometimes when you have a bent mirror or two mirrors, it's just reflecting back and forth into infinity. So if we reflect the light, and this is what Robin was saying, if we are reflecting the light, the inherent light of the water, and our own inherent light to the water, and it reflects it back, and we reflect it back, and then there's this magnification of the light in all directions, magnification outward to all things and also inward to all things. Really beautiful imagery there for a prayer or for a meditation, to think of the water reflecting that the eternal light back and forth to us. To infinity, which isn't a destination. You know, it just keeps going. And when we consider that that light is love, then that can fill our being and the entire universe and beyond with its light and brilliance and its healing power.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what... I love what everyone's saying about the light and the reflection. And what's interesting, I had, you know, and beautiful waters in front of me, what I wrote, the book. Oh, I don't like to say I wrote it. It just came through me. So, you know, that's a more humble way of putting it. And the reason why I mention that is because I actually wrote something about the mirror and the light. And what happened was that my son, Kemra, was doing a science experiment, and we all discussed what he could possibly do, and he decided to redo Imoto Masaru's the rice experiment, that I love you and I hate you, so I love you, dividing the rice into two portions and then saying I love you to one part, I hate you to the other. And repeating that was amazing, because if you repeat that experiment, it always comes up with similar results, where the rice that you said I love you to actually stays more or less as it was, freshly cooked. And the rice that you say I hate you to begins to, well, his rice started literally turning black-green and covered with black-green fungi within a couple of days. And the rice that was I love you stayed freshly cooked. And in fact, I still have that experiment today, and the rice that had the hate is actually dissolved into powder. The rice that had been sent the love, and we're talking about a couple of years ago, still looks slightly freshly cooked. And the reason why I mentioned this is that when he did when he was doing the science project, that I began to help him do some research, and I discovered something called biophotons. And what scientists discovered is that biophotons actually is a sign of life, that of when something is a life form, it emits biophotons. And biophotons are known as fine emissions of light energy that all living things emit. And so we began to wonder, and so his whole experiment was about, is water alive? And essentially everything emits biophotons, including water and all living beings. And then as I was looking at this, I had always wondered about the mirror. This was in the early days, what did the mirror really symbolize? Because every symbol of the mother is actually is high science, leads us into something that is highly scientific, was ancient science. So I always wondered, what did the mirror, when decoded, what did it mean, not just as a metaphor, but did it actually take us into some very massively real aspect of ourselves? And so one day I was looking at a picture of the biophoton, and if anyone Googles it one day, look at a biophoton that represents whole life, because you can have a broken biophoton or a whole one. When you look at it, right in the middle of it, it looks exactly like a reflective mirror. That's how they describe it. It's like a reflective mirror in the biophoton. And so as I saw this, I wrote, I was lying in bed when I saw a clear image of Oshun dancing in front of me, smiling. Her smile was dazzling, and even more dazzling was the mirror she held up in front of her. It was her famous mirror, the mirror, the mirror, the mirror, I thought excitedly. Her voice seemed to sing the words like the ripples that gently moved across the surface of a clear lake. The song literally lifted me out of my bed and onto my feet and led me to my biophoton notes. Mr. Excel, one of the researchers, revealed, and this is his words, in the middle of that shape of the biophoton, it looks as though it is a mirror. My heart stopped. I reread the passage. It was clear what Mr. Excel was saying. The biophoton was a fine emission of light that all living things emitted. And at its center, there was a mirror. And essentially, I then go on to say something I wrote in my diary. My watery guardian Oshun, has revealed that the mother energy of the world is the source of all life. the biophoton was proof to scientists that all things were living beings. Her mirror, that mirror that was supposed to represent our vanity to the unknowing eye, actually represents her being the source of life itself, and that all life is one, and she is the invisible pin that brings it all together. She was the oneness, the light that existed in all things. Her waters were merely like her oracle. They behave like a mirror that helps man monitor his existence with the whole within and the whole without, to help him know if he was on or off track, because we have grown so far away from nature, we no longer know how to read the water symbols, much less have an understanding as to what those symbols mean. And then, and essentially, I just want to stop there. So why that was important, I just want to reiterate that, just to summarize, for scientists, a biophoton represents there is life. And so therefore, when the scientists looked at the biophoton and it looked like a mirror in their own words inside, that for me symbolized that the mirror of the mother was showing that when decoding the mirror, it was showing that the mother is the source and the light of all things, just as she is the DNA, just as she is the consciousness that imparts into the DNA. She is the emission of light. She is energy, she is vibration, she is sound, she is the all, she is infinity, she is eternity, she is that reflection in Indra's net, everything reflecting itself. We ourselves are the mirrors. We reflect each other, and as Anne and Robin and Liz were saying, we reflect the environment. So when I was on this journey with the waters, like I know all my sisters who have journeyed with the waters and brothers, water only reflects who we are. So right now, the mirror, the mother's mirror, is one of the primary symbols of the mother that is actually reflecting back an urgent message back to us. It is her voice. The mirror is her voice that is trying to reach our souls, not through words, but through vibration, through reflection. Because there is no way that we can look at the state of our waterways today and not see the reflection of ourselves back to ourselves. And by Mother Water just simply silently holding that mirror, that water up to our face, she is simply saying to us, what are you doing? And then she's directing us to look back at her ancient image, at her glory, and saying, this is what you're meant to be. This is where you're meant to be at. This is where you are meant to be at, so the world can reflect these waters back. So the world can live, be balanced, because without water, clean water, we have nothing. We are nothing. And as Robin said, that if we have clean waters within our own body, Mother Water absorbs that cleanliness within us, absorbs that purity. And if for those who are more very analytical, you can take that on any level you want to, because on the most basic level, if our internal waters are clean, it must mean that we believe in living a life of balance. And if our internal waters are clean, it means that we are going to live in balance with our world. We believe in sacred balance. If you believe in sacred balance in your own body, you will treat the rest of the world like a temple. Every action you take will be a mirror of balance, love, purity, and compassion. So the mirror, in summary, is Mother Water's message. She is holding that mirror up. She is reflecting us back to ourselves. Her ice poles are melting. Those ice poles are the watery mirror of Mother Water, Mother Universe. If we cannot see those ice poles melting, and if we cannot feel fear and awe and a commitment to move, and begin to change this world one wave at a time, one prayer at a time, then what, if not Mother's Water reflecting back to us, will make us move, will make us want to do something? It's her talking back to us. So soul to soul rather than intellect to intellect. So, Ashe, so I would just kind of calm down now.
Thank you for the crashing waves of the river of your passion. Thank you, Omile. Thank you. Bob, did you want to sing a song? I was asking if my husband, after such a beautiful flow, Omile, he would offer us a song. Maybe I'll sing along if I know it.
Sure.
You can absorb the beautiful words that have been spoken.
To sing a song, I was receiving before that subject came up. I was receiving a memory of a very sacred story that my comadre Guadalupe de la Cruz Rios told me. One night when she visited my former wife and family at the ocean where we lived in western Mexico, she went out on the beach with a candle, and she sat on the beach all night with the candle, and I still see that in my memory. And she was meditating, praying, communicating, giving and receiving with the ocean. And when she came back in the morning, we had a little fire going, and she sat down and picked up a stick and indicated that she would like me to pick up a stick. And then she prayed with it, and I did the same with mine. And then we put the sticks in the fire right there by the ocean. It was a little fire, not a candle. And she then recited this old story of the original grandmother of all growth. Her name is Takutsi Nakawe. She was praying by the ocean, and she was praying for all life, and she was praying for guidance of how to live. And as she prayed, and she was crying, sending her tears down into the ocean beach, he heard something high above, and it was like a crack or a snapping sound. And she looked in that direction up high, and she saw stars raining down, and they hit the ocean and sizzled on the ocean, and then the phosphorescence moved toward the beach, toward the shore, and those beings were moving like snakes, and they climbed with their bodies the way snakes do, writhing toward the higher ground. And she watched them all find the different sources of water, the springs, the rivers, the streams, the little puddles, the lakes, all those places where the water emanates, and they dissolved or disappeared or dived into those places, all those many places she saw it. And this great grandmother of all growth, she then gave thanks. And then from those places, there arose little twinkling, seemed like lights, but they also had a glitter as if they were little jewels or little diamonds or little mirrors. And the light that came from those, she looked at those lights and she felt the answer to her unvoiced prayer came back to her, and she then could proceed to the next part of the sacred story. Because when she received all these points of light into her consciousness, she looked up from the source of these lights, these forms of life, and there was a huge falling star, huge one, crackling and sputtering and sending off fireworks in its wake, and it hit the ocean, and she saw this person. It was like a ball of white light, which was also glittering, like a mirror, like a jewel. And the ball of white light traversed the ocean toward her, coming through the surf, and landed next to her. And the driftwood and straw that was there around her got ignited by this being. And it was the beginning of the story of fire, because this being came as a baby, as a child, as a little child. And she picked it up, and it didn't hurt her. And she looked in its eyes, and her grandmother love and the intelligence of that love surrounded that baby. And she raised that baby, and that baby came to be called fire. And soon uncles and aunties came from the high country, and they told the grandmother, after recognizing her and acknowledging her, respecting her, greeting her, they said, "This is our little nephew, and we need to take him up into the high country, so he can learn the ways, so that he can learn the songs, he can learn the dances, he can learn what it is to be a complete human being." And when they took him up into the high country, the thunder clouds gathered. There was a lot of lightning coming, And the rain fell in great torrents, flooding the whole area. She had to go to higher ground. It was really, really raining very hard. And in the midst of the raining, she heard the report of a volcano inland. And the volcano blew the top of its cover. And this flaming object with all the colors of the rainbow, not just seeming to be white, but now revealing all these colors, landed next to her. And the being she recognized as the little baby. And now he was grown into full human being in all his beauty. And she embraced him, and he embraced her, and he thanked the grandmother. And when this happened, she realized that it was in the coming together of fire and water, in the coming together of the life force in the form of this being, this globe of white light, that now cultural life could begin. And all the ceremonies and all the prayers and all the culture, all the teachings would now be possible because of the combination of the water and the fire. That's the story she told me. Just wanted to share that with you.
Ah, she.
It's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
The song is a song that combines the word for big bird, which would be possibly an eagle, and the word for the great-great-grandmother. Together, the song combines the two names. And it indicates that when we remember who we are, we also remember the dimension in which we are taken up, so that our destiny to rise, to ascend, to soar, to fly, is combined with the watery surface of the earth and the depth of the earth. So the two come together into one beautiful, it's like a mandala in the song. So anyway, this is the song. Hene na hawe, hene na hawe, hene na hawe, hene na hawe, yo wanda yana hene, hene na hawe, yo wanda yana hene. Hene na hawe ne, hene na hawe ne, hene na hawe, heana hene yuwe, hene na hawe yo wana yana hene, hene na hawe, hene na hawe yo wana yana hene. Hene na hawe yo wana yana hene, hene na hawe ne, Hey, nay, nah, away, nay. Hey, nay, nah, away. Hey, Anna. Hey, nay, do.
Ah,
thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, beautiful. Beautiful, Bob. Thank you
so much. Yeah, that's very beautiful.
Well, I'm new here. I have a reflection, and it's that I notice that many of my fellow human beings these days, I have done this myself at times, sit down in order to eat food, and no matter what seems to precede that, finally, either just before they're going to eat, or maybe while they're eating, or in some cases, maybe they're investigating the containers that the food came in, and there are comments about judgment of the food. I hear fear there. I hear suspicion. I hear the introduction of concepts that condemn the food for being, maybe there's some poisons in it, or maybe it was gathered in an inappropriate way, or maybe it was grown out of relationship to the life force. I don't know what this is doing, but I noticed this, that there's skepticism which is brought toward the food and water that we eat and drink. And it's also paradoxical because I don't know how to jump through that. It's a conundrum because many of the things that we ingest into our bodies are already laden with things that aren't healthy for us. I accept that as a fact. What can we do? What can we do? And then, Omile, you mentioned your son's project, how the two batches of rice were approached in two different ways. One with joy and gratitude and love, and the other with what we can label, I guess, an emotion, which would be a negative emotion or words. And to me, I'm just putting it out. What can we do about this? Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Sheo.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Omi, Robin, Liz, Olu. Thank you so much. Wanted to, there was at least a few people that had typed in through the way that you've been communicating. They typed in that they had some questions for us. And so I'd like at this time to open up the mics of our dear circle of participants so that they might offer some reflections or offer some comments, some questions. I know somebody had a question specifically for you, Omile, about the book, your book, and they wanted to know more. So I want to open it up for those of you who want to offer question or a comment, please press 1 on your keypad and we'll know that you're raising your hand. Okay, I guess that person who had a question is no longer, or maybe she's listening in a different mode than I can see on my dashboard. So nobody has a question or a comment right now? Trinity Silent Crew. All right, so we'll just continue to open it up then for our Water Song Line members. Would anybody like to offer some more into this beautiful watery brew?
Yes, this is Olu. Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. So Ashe for the beautiful words, the beautiful waters that we're swimming in. And so the short reflection that I'm going to share is this: the way I would put it is I and I. And Omi's eyebrows are probably raising now because that's like a Jamaican terminology that means us. I and I are sacred. And somewhere down the road of this human journey, and humanity has been on this earth probably more than 1 million years, which is hard to fathom. But at some point, we forgot that we are sacred. And we forgot that this earth and all these creations that we see every day is sacred. And that is a very, very bad thing, to forget that you're sacred. And this is why the mirror and all the stuff that you have been discussing is so important. I looked, the first time that I was able to leave America was on a cruise to the Bahamas. And that was the first time I and I saw crystal clear water in the ocean. Looked like pool water. Blew my mind. Didn't know that that was possible. I actually walked to one of the resorts, and as I crossed over into the proper resort over a small bridge, on the left side was the ocean. You could literally see fish swimming up to the bridge. You can even see small sharks swimming up to the bridge. And on the right was this large pool for the resort. And you did not see the separation underneath the bridge. It just looked like the same water. And it was they looked exactly the same. And there was something about seeing crystal clear ocean water that made you immediately know this is what it's supposed to look like. And so when I reflect on that in this conversation, I'm reflecting on that because, you know, I live in South Carolina, the United States, and go to the Myrtle Beach and other beaches in the area, and none of the water is anything like that. It's all murky. You can't see two inches down, much less 15, 30 feet down. And so why does that happen? What made this water so pervasively murky constantly right outside my shores? And the other trip that I took was to Trinidad because I had assumed that all of the Caribbean waters were this way. And my plane landed in Aruba, and I spent the night in Aruba, and that water was just completely awesome, even better than Bermuda. But then we went to Trinidad, and when I finally got to the oceans in Trinidad, it looked almost exactly like Myrtle Beach, almost identical. How did that happen? My lovely wife, that's where I met her in Trinidad, and she told me, well, then, you know, this is an island of oil. This is an oil industry. It used to be a sugarcane thing, but now it's an oil thing. That's the main business. And that's why that water looks like that. So what's reflected back on to us is, if you don't consider it sacred, you can treat it any type of way you want. And the result is going to be very murky. And that is what we take in. That is what we breathe in. That's the fish we eat. That's the water we drink. Therefore, we become murky as well. A million and some odd years ago, we weren't murky. We were clear. And that reflection was beautiful. Beautiful enough to pull us out of the tunnel, out of the cave, as Omi's story earlier. She saw her reflection, and it was so beautiful. It attracted her out and back into the world. I want to look in a mirror, and I can see my own beauty again. I can see that I'm treating myself as sacred, and I'm treating everybody around me as sacred. With love and compassion again, I will come out and reflect that beauty into the world. We got some work to do. Ashe.
Ashe.
Thank you, Olu. Thank you very much.
So, Olu and Robert, I'm remembering Dr. Emoto's photography. And there was a ceremony at the turning of the century by 13 grandmothers from around the world. Grandmother Catherine Duquesne of the Akwesasne people in Canada brought this ceremony out. It had been hidden for 150 years. And for the ceremony, they created a beautiful staff with the sun and the moon and 13 wild Canadian goose feathers. And then they went to the dirtiest river in Canada and they sang a sacred song. And Dr. Emoto just coincidentally, I don't believe in coincidence, showed up just before they did the ceremony and sang the song. He took a picture of the water and the molecules were all scattered and brown and dirty and gray and awful. And then these women did their ceremony and sang their song. And he took a picture of the water afterwards and the crystals had come back together in perfect alignment and were absolutely pure and gorgeous. So one of the things that Grandmother Catherine did after that was send this song around the world. It's now been around the world at least 4 times. And she asked primarily women, but also wonderful men who care about the waters, to sing this song, because every time that the song is sung with love, it purifies the water. And the questions you're both brought up, Robert, and also what you said, Olu, I believe that we can purify anything by sending love to it. That the food that we eat, even though it may come to us polluted and full of pesticides, if we pray and give it love, we can transmute that. If we do these ceremonies for the waters, if we purify our bodies, and if we do that all through love, then I believe we change all of this. So I'd like to share the song. It's a very simple song, and it's a song that anybody can do anytime to the waters in the shower, the waters in our body, the waters of the lakes, rivers, streams, and oceans, even the mud puddles. Usually we do it with a drum, but my drum isn't handy right now, so I'll just sing it. Nibi wabo endayan, akwi miskwi nibi wabo, heya, 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 hey. Heya, heya, heya. That's all there is to it. And I've been taught to sing it seven times, once to each of the sacred directions. And that it calls in all the ancestors and all those who also want to give their love to the sacred waters and to whatever it is that we're praying for.
Yes, that is so beautiful. Can you translate those into English?
I can give you the gist of the words.
Oh,
I don't know the actual translation, but basically it says, I am the water carrier. I carry the message. And the message is love.
Ashe. Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you. Thank you so much, Robin. That's really beautiful. I was, as you were talking and as we've been sharing around the circle, I was thinking about how some people disparage prayer. They say, oh, well, you can't just pray. What good is just praying going to do? And I do believe in direct action. I was just talking to a sister of mine who's very involved in the anti-fracking movement in upstate New York, and it really is a very serious concern, and the action is important. But I also want to emphasize that our prayer is action, just as we're talking about, that it actually does have an effect. It's not just we're going to sit and twirl our thumbs and hope for the best. We're actually doing something. We're actually doing very, very difficult work of atonement and purification and reconciling with our own impurities. And then when we circle together, it's that much more magnified. And that's one of the visions and the dreams of the Water Songline Council and of this circle itself, that the more of us who come together and do this very, very serious work of prayer and of visioning and of song and of applying our consciousness to our own bodies of water and to the bodies of water around this wondrous creation, that it does have an effect. So I wanted to say that to add to this beautiful sharing. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you.
Ashe. Wow, I'm really moved. I remember when Robin Youngblood sang that song up at Sacred Grove in North Carolina. It was like very powerful. And what you said about the power of prayer, you know, even though I've always been on the spiritual path, I like the fact that I had always questioned the power of prayer. And the reason why I liked it is because it made me delve deeper into my own belief in the power of prayer and really examining the power of words to transform. And we've been so conditioned now to see everything with the physical eye that we have to begin to see with the spiritual eye, and seeing with the spiritual eye leads us deeply into ancient science. That this is not just really a question of faith, it is, but it's a question of sacred science, that the vibration of words changes everything. And we can see that if we do that, if anyone cares to do that rice experiment, you will see the change. I actually had a plant, a money plant, that was dying, and I did the same experiment on my money plant because I was about to throw it in the trash. And my spirit said, why don't you say I love you to the money plant? And I was like, what is that going to do to help? And my husband will vouch for this, and I would do this experiment in front of anyone because that's how confident I am in the power of the prayer now, that I said I love you to the money plant just actually for a minute. And 3 days later, the money plant completely came, or a week later, the money plant was completely flourishing again. This was something that was about to go in the trash. And I've done this over and over with a lot of things. And it's things like that that convince me of the power of prayer, because I've seen those words, I love you, change everything. And so what Robin said about the, if for instance you sang the Nibi Wabo song or something like that to the waters, that you genuinely can change. You really can. It's a very, very deep science, you know. And this is why the goddess is the goddess of transformation. If you notice, she like changing woman. So she's another goddess, or I should say mother, who brings a message to us, because changing woman changes several times. And that can be analyzed on many levels, like the different seasons, the different cycles of womanhood, the different cycles of humanity. And so we have that power, and that's why the Mother Waters holds that mirror up. And back to what you said, to do Anne with Oshun with the beads over her eyes. Those beads over the eyes are saying, yes, let's see not with the physical eye, but the spiritual eye. And if we delve deeper into that, what is that saying to us? She's showing us that what you're looking for is right inside of you. And yes, I think different people have mentioned in different ways, what you're looking for is right inside of you, in the river that runs inside your body. So we've got to purify that river. Let's talk about the sacred science of that. Bob talked about the water and the fire coming together, and that's when all the teachings came into existence. And I don't think I reflected that back correctly, but we were allowed to access that wisdom. Those teachings could jump alive. Well, the sacred science of that water and fire coming together within our bodies is actually the water and fire that rises up as the kundalini energy in the body. And that's why the mother, in her very, very ancient form, is the serpent in ancient Egypt, the Uajet. Because it represents the deeper levels of the DNA consciousness. So the joining of the waters and the fires, as we purify our internal beingness through breath, contemplation, and prayer, we allow a cleansing of the internal waters, and we allow a joining of the sacred masculine and feminine energies within us to join together as one. That's why the mother goddess is always shown with herself and a sacred husband. And then there's another aspect of the mother goddess where she's both male and female all at the same time, until she's so much male and female, until she is just oneness. So as the kundalini, chi, prana, life force, whatever the different cultures call it, rises within us from the base energy point, the earth energy point, and it rises and it comes up to the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is like our internal mirror, because it's that which reflects all the intuition of consciousness. And it is actually activated by light energy. And so if we look at the ancient Egyptian pictures, we see the serpent coming out from the brow. So Oshun's eyes are covered. So going back to Oshun's eyes being covered, that very symbol is actually telling us about the science, the inner science of purification, transformation, and transcendence, which is a very, very real thing. So by joining that fire and water together, the pineal gland actually coordinates every single aspect of the brain. It brings together the hormonal and the it brings together the hormonal and the nervous system together. It releases melatonin, and it governs the waking and the sleeping state. It governs everything. It's actually known as the third eye, and it actually is that eye of Horus, you know. So that eye of Horus is actually Uajet, the Wajet, which is connected to the mother Wajet. And that eye is seen in every culture. So we see the eye, which is a mirror, because if you look at people's eyes, it's like almost like the eye is mirroring you back to you. That eye is seen in Tara, who has seven eyes. The eye is seen in Shiva, Parvati. The eye is seen in Hathor is known as the third eye as well. So we see how important the eye is as a reflection of our humanity. So it sounds, so I don't want to go too deep into that, but basically what I'm saying is that prayer is vibration, and the mother energy, the deeper and deeper we go into these lost symbols, is the deeper and deeper we go in really into the science of ascension, oneness and love, not just in our heads and our fantasies, it's a literal science. And that's why things like the Native American traditions of purification, going into the sweat lodge, these are sacred technologies, these are sacred sciences, standing and activating the medicine wheel. These are sacred tools. So this is what the waters lead us to. So the more we follow the symbol of water, is the more we actually mature in our understandings, is the more we're guided. The river guides us back to the source. No matter which branch of the river you're standing at, if you follow those symbols humbly, patiently, lovingly, you'll be guided back not just to your brothers and sisters in humanity, the birds and the animals, but you'll be taken back to that source. And you'll be taken back to the source within yourself and outside of yourself. So it's very, so that's why I always feel humbled when I talk about these things, because sometimes I can't find the words, because it's such a deep science. It's such a powerful, sacred technology that we're talking about. And just on a final note, as I'm talking, I have a candle holder that's a blue lotus flower, and it's beaded. And essentially, that's what we were talking about, the blue lotus flower. Essentially, that's, Bob was saying, the fire and the water coming together. I'll just reflect back and summarize back on a couple of lessons ago, that the blue lotus flower comes out of the water, which represents the womb of the mother, the compassion and the love. And as the sun hits that blue lotus flower, it opens up. So that's the masculine and the feminine coming together. And as it opens up, the divine child, the Horus, and the divine child in many cultural forms comes out of that lotus flower. And sometimes the phoenix comes out of it as well. So therefore, that's the science of ascension. And essentially, that's what the mother's mirror shows us. The mother's mirror is actually taking us back to the sacred science of ascension, so we can ascend, so our whole world can ascend with us. If this doesn't happen, with no ascension, you only get dissension. And you can actually play on that word. You get chaos, and you have a dumbing down of our innate sacred humanity. And the love, back to what Robin said, love governs everything. It changes everything. Ashe.
Thank you.
Umile. I wanted to just mirror back to you with my words and to all of us that to keep it simple, I've arrived myself when I'm confronted with anything that arises, which is a challenge to my life force, I realize that something is changing, and my own intelligence inside of me, deep inside of me, is showing me something has changed, and rather than my judging it or making a division, I have another choice, and that is to love it. And the love that you mentioned, Omile, I feel that's really the, when it's chosen like that, something happens, and the only thing I can compare it to is when I'm in the presence of my own children coming forth out of the womb, there's no label for it. It's wordless, but there's no question when I reflect back on it, those moments, that love was being shown to me from my own, you know, my own children, my own ones that came in this beautiful, miraculous way from within my body along with the body of my partner. And then I was able to behold it. And it in itself, being born in a gush of water, it mirrors to me not just who I am, but who we all are, the I and I, as you said, Olu. It's the feeling that my connection with all that is a very simple one when I have this energy of love, when I look upon whatever it is as a reflection for me to behold and to send back love. This is all I can say. It really comes down for me to the challenge we are all facing in this lifetime. There is no other way to begin the journey than to love yourself, because you are connected to all, and it's a choice. It's not something that someone can make you do. It's not something that you yourself can easily fall into, because there are certain taboos which have come to be erected around this energy that somehow self-love is considered taboo. And yet, when I look at it in the light of this reflection that came back to me from the birth waters and the child of my own line coming forth, I realize the only way I can receive that little one is in love. And there's a part of me there, and yet I realize it came from love, and it's returned to love. And there's no other way to say it. So I'm saying it's a good practice to love yourself. And I'm saying that for myself as well, because it is a definite chosen step that we have to remember, that even though there's warnings and taboos around this, it is the initiation into the spiritual life, which is the true life, and the life force being brought into a place where it can be contemplated and appreciated and loved. We carry in us that water, we carry in us that fire, and That's what it is. We can tend it. We can nourish it. We can love it. We can love it. That's all.
Ashe.
Yes, thank you. I'm really happy to listen to this wonderful weaving here. And I wanted to say that the woman who had a question for you, Omile, before she somehow got popped off, and which her name is Sarah, she wanted to thank you very much. She wanted to know what you were reading from. And so I want to tell the people that you were reading from your book, Beautiful Waters. And she wanted to thank you for what you had read, especially about the mirror within each one of us. So I wanted to relay that. And then I'd like to once again open it up to the people who are on the line, the other folks. I see that, Lindley, you have your hand raised. Was that on purpose?
Yes, it was, and thank you. Can you hear me?
I sure can, and I see some other people raising their hand, but please go for it, Lindley. Hello. All the way in New Zealand. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning tomorrow.
Firstly, I need to offer my very deepest gratitude for having the opportunity to listen and to have spoken these words that for me are just so enriching and I want to say delicious. When questions were asked, if we had any before, I realized that the depth of where I had been taken with sharing was so great that there was nothing that came to mind. But as I was listening to the songs, it came to me to ask if it's possible. It would be wonderful if songs could be shared on the Water Song Line website. So that for me personally, to have other songs, to have songs about water from around the world, from people's traditions, that I could also sing here and also share what I have from here would be truly wonderful. So it was just a question that came to me while I was listening. That in my very deep gratitude, I see that the website could be a wonderful tool also for that. So thank you everybody, thank you Anne, thank you Bob, I'm deeply grateful.
Thank you, Lindley, thank you so much. I think that's a wonderful idea. And we can talk to the council, the Water Songline Council, and then to the people in general. Maybe, Omile, we could have a section on the website where people can share songs that are open, available for others to learn. I think that's
a great idea. I think we, when we used to have the blog active on the Water Songline website, more active, we used to have resources, and I think there was a couple of songs and prayers on there. But I think that's a really great idea to actually maybe make that a theme where we collect songs and post them up on the website. I think that'd be wonderful, especially song is prayer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and these sacred water songs have been sung from many times, and some of them are brought back in a modern way, you know, with new words channeling through people, and they activate the waters in a deep way. So I think that's great. Sure, we can definitely do that and speak to the other council members about it.
Yeah, and Robin, did you want to say something?
I was just very much agreeing with that.
Yeah.
Wonderful to share those songs.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lindley. And so I see there's another hand raised. Ariana, did you want to share something?
I would like to. Thank you. Can you hear my voice okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone, all of you, for all the beautiful words, and especially for the reminder when things are challenging to love ourselves. I really needed to be reminded of that today. And I also just wanted to say how full of gratitude I am for the rains. It's three nights in a row. This is the fourth night of rain. And I couldn't even sleep last night because I just kept giving thanks for the rain falling all night long. And then it reminded me when all were sharing tonight this simple song that I'd like to offer in a prayer as a closing for my being able to share. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Raindrops falling all around, falling through me to the ground, washing, cleansing my very bones, taking me to the spirits of old. Raindrops falling all around, falling through me to the ground, washing, cleansing my very soul, taking me to the spirits of old. Ashe, and thank you.
All right, thank you.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Yeah, thank you.
So beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it's been said, not just by me, but I've heard it said, and I agree with this, that one of the challenges of the time in which we live is how to deal with grief, with loss, with sadness. I hear so many people, myself included, we have a habit when we make a mistake, especially if it impinges on someone's thought or space, we say sorry. This is it. We're proclaiming sorrow when we say sorry. That's what I feel, and yet most people say it without really getting what they're saying. It's a habitual thing. It's a cultural response to ask for forgiveness, maybe, or excuse me, or apology. You know. Kind of like that. And I just wanted to mention that a way of taking care of grief is really, really helpful with water. With water. Because water, you know, keeps moving. It doesn't stay. If it stays too long, it loses its vitality. Seems to, at least. You know, and so there are songs about that too. I'm trying to catch a song about a man who lost they lost their first baby, and it so affected the man that he was essentially destabilized and reduced in being able to respond to life to just a fragment of his former being. And it really got a hold of him for a long time. And so he mentioned to his wife, this is when people rode horses, he said, I'm going to saddle up two horses, and I want you to make food for me to take in my backpack, and I'm also going to take sacred medicine with me, and I'm going to make a journey as far as I can go until I find a place where I can let go of my grieving. And so he traveled for quite a few days. And night was falling in this place that he arrived at. And he heard up on a mesa, he heard baby coyotes calling out, singing. And he heard the mother of the coyotes teaching them the songs. And then the song hit him, and he sang it with them. He had made a fire, and water was falling, a waterfall was falling down from the mesa. And his tears sprang forth with the waterfall. And he sat at the fire and listened to the babies crying out their songs and the mother. And then he sang with them, and he sang, in a way, oh, 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 in a way, yo. Oh. In a way, yo, woo, 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 in a way, yo, in a way, yo, in a way, na way, yo, in a way, na way, na way, ne, ya na, hey, ne, ya na, hey, ya na, hey, ne, way, in a way, yo, woo, 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 woo. In a way, yo, in a way, yo, in a way, na way, yo, in a way, na way, ne, ya na, hey, ne, ya na, in a way, ne, yo. The word for water is nahwe, and in a way means coming from above. That's all. Thanks for listening.
Ashe. Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So we have about 15 more minutes to our call, and we can open it up some more to the people who are on the circle with us. If anybody has a thought to share, a prayer, a song, a question, a reflection. You can press 1. All right, I see that Holly, you have a question. You have your hand raised.
Can you hear me?
I sure can, Holly. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Not a question. I very much would like to say thank you. This has been such a luminous and expansive, inspiring conversation tonight. And I encourage and celebrate the recording the songs that have been sung and sharing them on the website if possible, and a CD would be wonderful so that others of us, if it's appropriate, can learn to sing them. I also want to particularly thank Robin for the song that you shared and the translation, which reflected back to me my question at the end of our first gathering when I mentioned that I had been feeling called to be a water carrier.
Right.
And you gave me another piece or another step forward on the path. Thank you, Robin. And thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Thank you, Holly. Thank you. I see that Katerina, you have your hand up as well. I'd love to hear from you.
Yes, I also want to thank everybody. And I wanted to tell a little story about going into the water. Like last summer, I started to go into the water every Sunday, and now it's getting colder. I'm coming from Holland, and we try to keep on going. and I do it together with my husband, and it feels like every time you go into the water, you're going into a big womb, and you feel connected with everything, and the big dream is like, by changing the mind, you can really change the what is the water giving to the world, and by this, is it possible to transform the world, something like that, and by diving into the ocean, it really gives me a connection with, well, with the world. That's all.
Ashe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else who's on the call, would you like to offer some of your thoughts or feelings or songs or prayers or questions? Okay. Lily, do you have your hand up again?
Yes, I do, Anne.
All right, yes.
The thoughts are coming flooding for me at the moment, and I'm aware of, as well as the songs, the stories, and how wonderful it would be to have a resource. My imaginings are going to holding a gathering, holding an evening, holding whatever, we're sharing the songs and the stories in order to awaken this awareness would be really beautiful. So, yes, and what I'm getting images of is children's stories or stories told to children. It's almost as we have heard today, but the profoundness, because they're told in the way of a child being able to hear, would be truly wonderful. So I'm aware of resourcing, and just putting it out there. And also a question with that is to the appropriateness of sharing stories and sharing the stories that we've heard, understanding the sacredness and understanding understanding the preciousness of how that would be done and why it would be done. Yes, so I just wanted to share that and to just put it into the circle. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lindley. Well, that's really one of the core visions of the Water Songline Council, is that we are a confluence of prayers and songs and stories, and those of us who might share the songs and stories, we would then transmit the appropriateness, maybe the time or place or not that they should be shared or how they were shared with us, so that we keep an integrity with the way things have been passed. And at the same time, it is a time to be shared and utilized in good ways to be picked up. So wanted to say that. And wanting to open up again if there's anybody who's on our call who would like to speak. And then we can bring it. Yes.
Can I just, when she was talking about bringing the prayers and songs together, before she said that, I had written down about the gathering for spring equinox that will be held where Robin lives, and I just wrote down a collection of prayers, songs to activate the water, the healing of the waters and the earth. And I actually was getting a vision of the gathering. So when she said that, it felt like a confirmation. I actually saw this image of us sharing many songs and prayers together to activate that healing. of the waters and the earth, as well as the energy of the waters, to heal us all. So I just wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Ashe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It just came to me to mention, really simply, that I know this is true of Mayan myth, and it exists in other places as well, that there is in the sky at night the Milky Way, which is looked upon as a great river. Just want to mention that.
Ashe. Ah, Anne?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how the energy is really flowing tonight. As everyone was talking, I was actually reading in the book again. It had actually fallen open on something about the Milky Way, because it was next to the part about the mirror. And it was actually because we went to a talk by naturalist, and he was talking about the solar system and how we're all made of stardust, and it got me thinking about the Milky Way, and you know, our star is part of the Milky Way, which contains thousands and thousands of stars. And then I wrote, this Milky Way galaxy is part of a group of galaxies known as the Local Group, and that is part of a bigger cluster of galaxies known as the Virgo galaxies, and millions of galaxy clusters are strung together like a spider's web. This spider's web is made up of billions of galaxies and trillions of stars, thousands of other galaxies. The area between the strands of galaxies is just empty space. It is said that you would have to travel hundreds of miles just to find one atom. And then I go on to write, galaxies come in many shapes. It is said the most beautiful types of galaxies are spiral galaxies. Their long twisting arms are areas where stars are being formed. Imagine a ripple in a pond. The spiral arms seen in this kind of galaxy are circling waves. These waves cause new stars to form. They are like star farmers planting star seeds wherever they go. Some of the new stars created in the wave are very large. The Milky Way is one of those beautiful spiral galaxies. I later discovered some interesting facts about the Milky Way. The Egyptians connected it to the Egyptian goddess Hathor, who was also connected and interchanged with the sky goddess Nut, the four-legged celestial cow goddess. They were seen as the pillars in the sky, while the stars on their bellies constituted the Milky Way, on which the solar boat of the sun god sailed. The Egyptians considered the Milky Way the Nile in the sky. In the sacred Indian language Sanskrit, the Milky Way is called Akash Ganga, which means Gangas in the sky. It is said the Ganga River and the Milky Way are considered to be terrestrial, celestial connections to each other. In ancient China, the Milky Way is known as the Heavenly Han River, and in Japan, it is known as the Silver River System. All the stars that the eye can distinguish in the night sky are part of the Milky Way galaxy. But aside from these relatively nearby stars, this galaxy appears as a hazy band, as a white light arching around the entire celestial sphere. And on a final note, I wrote, the arching body of the goddess is the Milky Way over our earth, with the stars under our belly, protecting us, reminds me of the love of the mother and the love she is calling us to embrace within ourselves.
I see.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this has been a beautiful circle of water and stars and fire and stories and purification and love. And I'm very grateful for this, the way that it's unfolding. And we'll, next week we're going to be looking at the water as the sacred medicine wheel, the primordial womb of the mother, and Robin, Tequila's young blood, and Omile, and the rest, the number of us will be back to share about that. And I thought I might, we have a couple minutes, I thought I might offer a song for the waters. Ahi ai no wa hi nahi ho, ahi ai no wa hi nahi ho, ahi oi, ahi ai no wa hi nahi ho, ahi oi na hi ne ho, ahi ai no wa hi nahi ho, ahi oi, ahi ai no wa hi nahi ho, ahi oi na. Thank you to everybody, and we wish you a beautiful night or morning or whatever time of the day it happens to be that you're listening to this in the future. And may our prayers continue to radiate out, and may our deep love continue to radiate in and outward and catalyze more and more vitality, more and more hope and love and purification for our Holy Mother Waters.
Yet to a law, may it be so.
May it be so, Ashe.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.